Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am bringing on Bluestone Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol BSR and on the OTCQB under the symbol BBSRF. Chatting with the president and CEO, Jack Lundin. Now, Jack, let's bring everybody up to speed on the company's project here, the Cerro Blanco project in Guatemala. This project is de-risked in the aspect that there is already a well-known resource of about 3 million ounces in the M&I category. A lot of work has been done, including a feasibility study back in 2019. And from my understanding, the company is really focused on continuing to advance the Cerro Blanco project through to production. Give us an update on where the project stands now then, in terms of the last feasibility study and the amount of work that has been done here to de-risk this asset.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me. And you captured all the high points there, except you missed one key element. So yes, I am the CEO of Bluestone Resources, and we are focused on advancing the high-grade Cerro Blanco gold project. But one unique thing here for the company is that we recently just pivoted from an underground development scenario, which had a resource of about 1.4 million ounces gold, to a open pit development strategy where we now have 3 million ounces of gold in the measured and indicated. And that's what we're looking at moving forward. Our understanding of the project has increased significantly over the past 3 years. And given the opportunity that presented itself with COVID, the borders were closed and it gave us a chance to stop and look at all of the engineering work that had been done, as well as continue our infill drilling campaign on the underground resource. Towards the end of last year, we had the opportunity to kind of really ask ourselves, what is the best way of extracting gold and silver from this deposit? And the reality is, an open pit development scenario is the way to go. And so I'm fully focused on bringing this project from advanced study phase where it is today through development and into operations in a few short years.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about that pretty significant change here. The move from just simply an underground development to an open pit mine. What predicated this change and why is it so much more important to now be looking at this from an open pit scenario?
So really what you have to do when you're looking at extracting the most value or bringing the most minerals out of the ground in a given deposit is, how did this deposit form? What is the geometry of the deposit and where is it oriented? And so this Cerro Blanco deposit is a near surface. Well, mineralization does go right to surface deposit, and the interpretation of the geology has changed over time. This project was discovered in 1998, and it's passed through ownership, several ownership hands, and we picked it up in May 2017 from Goldcorp for a price of 20 million US. It had been on care and maintenance for about 4 or 5 years when we acquired the deposit or the project. And again, we put in our geology team to really remap the deposit. We increased our understanding through kilometers of drilling. For instance, last year we did 15,500 meters of infill drilling, and we really wanted to understand why in the past was this permitted as an underground project when we know and it's been known as a near surface deposit. I think really what it comes down to is the climate and the understanding. So back in 2007, Goldcorp was at risk of losing their license. It was in exploration phase, and they moved it quickly into exploitation phase by getting an EIA permit approval. And then we came in and looked at this and said, okay, yes, there's already underground infrastructure in place. Yes, the project's been significantly de-risked as an underground operation. However, we would be leaving behind over 1 million ounces of gold with an underground scenario. And therefore, you know, we have the team by being a Lundin Group company, and we have the resources and access to capital to increase the size of this project. And we know from a technical and economic standpoint, it's a no-brainer. So let's go after it and develop it in the way that it should be.
So what move needs to happen now for the company to show the economics around this new open pit scenario? Because that feasibility that I discussed 2019, that was focused on the underground.
Correct. So we just released a preliminary economic assessment. The announcement went out on February 28th for an open pit development scenario, and that again demonstrated very robust economics. It showed that the peak production can go from around 150,000 ounces to 330,000 ounces. The all-in sustaining cost is quite similar. We're still dealing with hot water management. However, the significant de-risking of the technical challenges from an underground with high temperature to an open pit is something that also makes this project much more attractive. It's much less technically challenging. So we're rapidly advancing. We're in the feasibility study phase, jumping right from a PEA to a feasibility study because of all the data that exists on this project. And we'll be releasing the results of that feasibility study towards the end of this year or early part of next year. And then in parallel, we're driving forward with a new environmental impact assessment based on this larger scale project.
Okay, so still that work to progress, right? And really just further de-risk the project. Can you give us some insights on what the mining environment is like in Guatemala? Because you do have a lot of catalysts and newsful events here that are predicated on, well, having the government on your side as well.
Absolutely. And that's a really key element for investors to understand, because as I mentioned, I mean, I've only really talked about now the technical and economic viability of an open pit. So when you compare that to the underground, it's a no-brainer going to an open pit development. However, that's only one side of the coin. It was very important for us to understand that there is, in fact, an appetite for a project of this scale in this part of the country. And we understood that and gained confidence in that through our engagement with the national government and the local stakeholders. So I've personally met with the ministries, the different ministries here in Guatemala, and really talked about what stands behind Bluestone, which is the Lundin Group of companies, and our experience in developing projects in what other, you know, peers may seem as too risky of a jurisdiction. And what it comes down to is the fact that projects in Guatemala have ran into issues in the past, and there are many reasons, and we're learning those reasons why issues have occurred in the past. But I can't speak for the decisions that were made for other companies that came in here and tried to advance projects. But what I can do is speak for how we intend to develop and produce and operate a project of this size and this scale in Guatemala. And we know how to do it the right way with best mining practices and responsible mining practices and, you know, world-class industry standards. And that's what we've committed ourselves to. And that has resonated with the authorities here in Guatemala. And therefore, I do have the confidence that we are working as a partnership with them to realize the benefits of this robust project.
Let's also dive into some of the economics in that PEA. In terms of, I understand now you're utilizing that full 3 million ounce resource now that you are going to the open pit. But in terms of costs, let's say CapEx and IRR, can you share some of those numbers with us, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the initial CapEx for this project is around $550 million. Again, we're going to be producing around 2.5 million ounces of gold, about 10 million ounces of silver, and we'll be operating for an initial mine life of 11 years at first decile operating costs during those peak years of production. So it's very robust. And what that does is it generates a project net present value after tax at a 5% discount of just over $900 million. And what that translates into is an IRR of about 29%. So the payback period is around 2.5 years. And again, those robust numbers really do demonstrate the exciting project that we have with Bluestone and Cerro Blanco.
Now, Jack, can I also get you to address this geothermal power project that the company has in terms of also the relationship and the buy-in of locals and the government?
Certainly. So again, another unique aspect for Bluestone is the fact that in our adjacent license, we have a MITA, it's called the MITA Geothermal Project, which is a project where we're licensed to generate up to 50 megawatts of geothermal energy through this geothermal project. Now, we are not producing yet. We have done flow tests and we have tested the viability of generating geothermal energy. We have a 50-year license to actually build and operate what would be a geothermal plant. And right now we are in parallel to working through the feasibility study for the gold project. We're looking at the viability of generating as much renewable energy through this geothermal project as possible. And we have kind of two options. One, to sell that directly into the grid and offset any carbon generated, CO2 generated from our what would be our mining operation, or tie directly into our mining operation to offset some of the power requirements from the national grid. So this is a unique aspect because we are in a hot springs environment. And that's why we are, you know, seeing those technical challenges with the underground for Cerro Blanco with hot water inflows. But also it's an opportunity here for us because we now have this geothermal potential and we do want to move that in parallel.
All right, Jack, let's summarize then the estimated news flow or news events that investors should pay note to, as well as a general time frame of when you think you guys will need to come up with some sort of project financing, or at least decision how you will finance this build.
Sure. So we've currently got about $46 million in the bank today. So we are sufficiently financed to get us through this year. So for the remainder of 2021, we will be completing our feasibility study. We will also be submitting our environmental impact assessment for the open pit. And we're working in conjunction with in-country consultants to put together that EIA document. And we believe that if we submit it towards the end of this year, we're allowing around a 6 to 12 month permitting timeline. And in parallel to that permitting process, we're working on our project financing strategy. So we're hoping that in 2022, we will receive our permit and we will receive our project financing package so that we can begin the construction phase or the pre-construction phase at the end of next year. And now what we're contemplating is around a 20-month construction timeline. So 2024 is our targeted year to get ourselves into first production.
Okay. Hey, Jack, I appreciate this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any of the actions at Bluestone or the advancement of the Cerro Blanco project, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We will follow up as some more news hits the market as well. But hey, Jack, I appreciate the update, and I look forward to following up with you. Thank you for your time.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having me today.